And now my message for today's broadcast, entitled, The Wonderful Works of God. It is based upon one verse of Scripture in the 107th Psalm. I shall read that verse after we pause in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the church and for the Bible and for the Lord's Day. We thank Thee for the privilege that is ours to broadcast the unsearchable riches of Thy marvelous grace. We thank Thee for those who are listening today, those who are crossing the city or driving across the country in their cars, those who are in their places of business or at home, or in the hospital or rest home. Thou knowest the location of every person. And dear God, Thou knowest the heart and need of every life. And it is our prayer that this broadcast could be used to further the cause of Christ and to bring a blessing and to bring encouragement and to bring reassurance to all who listen today. This is our prayer and these are our petitions as we ask them all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now the message, The Wonderful Works of God. Psalm 107 and verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Four times within the 107th Psalm, the psalmist shouts forth this note, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. All that a man has to do to see the work of God is to simply open his eyes. Have you seen the sun, the moon, the stars? The rivers, the oceans, the lakes, the mountains, then you have seen a manifestation of the power and person of Almighty God. The psalmist declared in the 19th chapter of the book of Psalms, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. God has made Himself known to all mankind in every age with a declaration of His handiwork by the very works of nature themselves. These works declare, nature itself sets forth the beauty of the wonderful work of God. A man is foolish to deny the existence of God. We know that God lives, for God has manifest Himself through His wonderful works. He who denies the existence of God must, in essence, deny his own existence. For it is written in the book of God, In Him we live and move and have our being. God is the only source of life. Without Him, there is no life. God is the only source of light. And without God's light, man must continue to live in darkness. God is the only source of energy. And without the energy of God, man is motionless. Man is energyless. In fact, man is lifeless. Using this text from the 107th Psalm as a background, let us notice some of the wonderful works of God. First of all, we observe God's wonderful work in creation. Well, there are a lot of theories about creation in the world today, but we believe the Bible account of creation. The Bible account of the creation comes to us from a man who knew the true meaning of communing with God, the man Moses, who wrote the book of Genesis. Moses wrote the words that God gave him to write. No speculation, no supposition, but the infallible truth of Almighty God. We are told that in Darwin's book, The Origin of the Species, that over 800 times the words, "we suppose," appear. We suppose. Well, that makes Darwin's book a book of speculation, a book of supposition, but not so the Bible. The Bible is infallibly true. The Bible is divinely inspired. The Bible is the Word of God. And in the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, Moses tells the story as God gave him the words to write. Observe how Moses begins this account in Genesis chapter 1 at verse 1. Four words, "in the beginning, God." These are the most important words in the Bible. These are the most sublime words in all the language of man. If you believe these four words, "in the beginning," you have no problem accepting the Word of God in its entirety. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. On day one, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Out of the darkness, God spoke light into existence. On day two, God said, "Let there be a firmament," and it was so. On day three, God said, "Let the waters be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And the Bible declares it was so. On the fourth day, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament." God placed two great lights in the firmament, the greater light, the sun, to rule by day, the lesser light, the moon, to rule by night. And on the fifth day of creation, God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly, and let the earth produce its seed and its grass." And it was so. And then came the sixth day of creation. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image." This is the zenith. This is the epitome. This is the apex of God's work of creation. This is the crowning touch to all of the wonderful works of God in creation. God is a triune being. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When God created man and formed him from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, God made man a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. No wonder the psalmist declares, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." At the end of the time of creation, we read in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, that God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. This is God's wonderful work in creation. And then in the second place, we observe God's wonderful work in salvation. Salvation is the gift of God. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." No wonder Paul again writes, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." In Psalm 3 at verse 8, the psalmist says, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord." No one can deny this. God, our God, is a God of salvation. Consider his name, Jehovah Hoshea. It means God of salvation. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, Paul writes, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." In the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Salvation truly belongs to God. When they named the Son of God to give him his earthly title, they named him Jesus, for the Bible declares, "He shall save his people from their sins." The name Jesus means Savior. And what a miracle is the miracle of the new birth. For God to save a sinner, this is the greatest of all miracles. It is greater than the miracle of creation. It is greater than all the miracles that God has ever performed. The poet put it this way. It took a miracle to hang the stars in space. It took a miracle to put the world in place. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. And beloved, this miracle of the new birth was all made possible by the death of Christ upon the cross. Outside the ancient walls of the city of Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago. And I never grow tired of telling this story. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was slain for sinners. He was crucified, put to death for your sins and mine. Peter said He bore our sins. He bore your sins and my sins in His own body on the tree, that you, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. What a wonderful work, God's work of salvation. Have you experienced that wonderful work of salvation? As Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. I repeat to you, by means of this broadcast, this moment, you must be born again. And you can experience in your own heart and life, firsthand, God's wonderful work in salvation. And then in the third place, there is God's wonderful work in revelation. Basically, God has revealed Himself in two ways. First, in His Word, and second, in His Son. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we read, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God inspired men of old to write. Peter put it this way, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the most unique and the most unusual and the most wonderful book in all the world. The Bible tells us what we need to know in our own lives for the plan and program of God for us individually. Are you wondering today what God's plan is and God's will for your life is? You'll find the answers in the book of God. In fact, you'll find all the answers, not only to your personal problems, but to the problems of our nation and the problems of our world within the framework of God's Word. God revealed Himself in the Scripture. We read in the Word of God about God's love, about God's mercy, about His patience, about His kindness, about His justice, about His holiness. All of these things are set forth by revelation in the Word of God. The Bible was written from three continents, basically in two languages, Hebrew and Greek. It was written by 40 writers. It was written over a period of 1,600 years, and yet it has as its one central theme the Lord Jesus Christ. God revealed Himself in the Scriptures, in the Holy Bible. But not only that, God revealed Himself in His Son. As the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. By His Son. There is a God. God has a Son. God speaks. God spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. God has spoken in these days, in this latter age, by His Son. And oh, how loudly and how clearly God has spoken to us in His Son. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached on in the world, believed on by the Gentiles, ascended up into glory. This is the sum and summation of God's revelation to us in and through the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God is like, look in His book. If you want to know what God is like, look at His Son. He is the express image of the Father. He is the likeness of God. He is God in the flesh. Very God and very man. Very man and very God. Just as much man as though He had never been God. And just as much God as though He had not been man. So in the wonderful work of revelation, bear in mind that two ways God has revealed Himself. First, in His Word, and second, in His Son. What shall I say about God's wonderful work in preservation? Not only does God save us, but God keeps us. We could no more keep ourselves saved than we could have saved ourselves initially. Nothing can come between us and God. We have nothing to fear. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father who gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." Paul writes in the book of Romans chapter 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or nakedness, or famine, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things it is written, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the wonderful work of God in preservation, preserving you until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings me to my final note, God's wonderful work in consummation. Since the days of creation, God has been active in the affairs of mankind. And God is not through yet. The greatest round of events is yet in the future. This age is drawing rapidly to a close. The signs of the Word of God that have been set forth are evident in the world today related to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely He will come quickly. The coming of Christ is in two stages. Stage one, He will come in rapture for the saints. In stage two, He will come in revelation with the saints. When He comes in the first advent, He will like a magnet draw all believers unto Him. Following that, right here on this earth, the great period that we call the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period. Then comes the second advent and the revelation, when Christ shall come with His saints to establish His kingdom right here on this earth. There are many things wrong in this old world of ours today. There is war, there is poverty, there is famine, there are troubles on every hand. But one day, Christ will make all these wrongs right. Perhaps there are things wrong in your life. Perhaps you've tuned to this broadcast to get a word of reassurance. Here it is. God loves you. If you're lost, He wants to save you this moment. You can make an altar right there by your radio. Simply bow your head. Confess your sins. Ask God to forgive you. Invite Christ to come into your heart and into your life this moment, and He will do it. If, on the other hand, you are a Christian, and you have been saved, and you know about your salvation, but today you're not actively engaged in the service of Christ, you're out of church, you've lost the joy, your light is not shining brightly for Christ, why don't you make a new start on this 31st day of January, 1971? While we're yet early in the new year, a year of opportunity for you to make things right in your own heart and in your own life. I trust that you will, and I trust that you'll come and visit with us today in the services of Worth Baptist Church. Until next Lord's Day, at this same time, this is the pastor of Worth Baptist Church reminding you to keep on praying.